This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by our Patreon at patreon.com/frogpants. Go to patreon.com/frogpants and throw a little bit of cash this way, and we'll keep making great shows just for you, like Film Sack. And by Harry's. For guys like you that want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code FILMSACK when you check out. That's harrys.com and the promo code FILMSACK.
You cannot get katana sword by stealing. It is a very special sword. You must earn it.
I wasn't going to steal it.
You didn't flinch. You have fighting spirit.
You're not gonna call the cops?
Not if we make a deal.
What kind of a deal?
Go for the gut. He's soft there. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Episode 218. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian. Quick, grab the goldfish, Dunaway.
Ah, I did that. Hello, son. Mother and I have to talk to you at dinner about something very important. But first, put this blindfold on and serve us some tea. Quiet, mother. This is serious. Thank you, son. Relax. No, relax. Fish up! Oh, no, what have I done? And that is how I lost my first five sons, mother. But you know that. You were there.
Yeah. It's like Kabuki. I like this. It's
right. How bad would that have been if Van Damme hadn't caught that face chop?
Real bad.
Right?
Real bad. He'd have been disfigured forever. Maybe he had a big goiter on his head. Oh, wait. That happened later. All right. Zing. also with us, Randy, biting down on another man's gold tooth is really gross, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. Mm. Did you guys know that back in the 70s, I was a legendary fighter?
No.
True story.
No.
I set the following records. Most times being knocked out by a single punch. Mm. Most times being knocked out without being struck. Fastest loss before entering the building. Most opponents offended by flatulence. Sorry. I invented that taint punch. You know what I'm talking about.
Taint.
I uninvented a knockout punch to one's own face because it never worked.
Yeah. Those are always,
I still hold the record for the slowest knockout punch. I started throwing it at the beginning of the fight. My opponent tripped and smashed his nose into my fist 4.2 seconds later. Finally, I just want to clear this up. Yes, there are no records of these records except for what I have here on this paper. And yes, that does look like my handwriting, but I'm telling you, it's legit. I also used to look like Adonis. Make sure you get that.
Oh, he was in some good shape, my wife says, anyway.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hunky man there. Speaking of hunky men, finally, we have Brian, also known as Garbage Can Lid Tasty. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Also known as Garbage Can Lid Taser Reflector Ibbot.
Deflector.
Yeah, deflector.
I'm sorry. While you were looking at the katana and having your 20-minute flashback and getting your butt kicked montage, your adopted father died. Oh, so sorry.
Right.
That's too bad. Actually, he didn't die. Or do we know if he died? Did he die? We don't know.
Well, he got a phone call, right? So,
yeah, he got the phone call saying he's dead.
He didn't age at all since Van Damme was just a little kid.
Bit.
Nope.
No. It's a Grecian formula.
Whereas Van Damme aged so much that it was hard to believe it was the same guy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. We have to talk about that guy. Oh. Now Ibbot just sent us a Facebook link to this the fan site of that actor.
Yeah.
Pierre Ruffini fan page.
Pierre Ruffini, Young Frank. Oh my God.
Young Frank is rad. Well, hold on a minute.
Young cross-eyed Frank.
What is he doing? Nothing? Is he out? He's not a regular actor now. I guess he's done.
No. This was the only thing he ever did according to IMDb.
IMDb?
DBB. I think somebody walked up to this kid on the street and said, "Hey, kid, we need someone for a movie." And he said, "We'll make you a deal." And he goes,
"What kind of a deal?"
And then they were done from there.
And they dubbed over his voice. You don't even know how bad his acting was because right. they dubbed over top of it, which made him look ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Pierre, you're in big trouble.
You're not going to call the cops?
Well, you got to calm down.
Maybe on that accent.
Okay, I need you to do your best Van Damme as a kid. That's pretty much what they said.
I can't hit you because I'm cross-eyed.
I can't do it. What kind of deal?
Can't steal
what
a katana.
Kind of course a deal? You
can. I know, right? No, he... Look, the fact that this is a thing... that I can now hit like on. There are only 17 likes. Let's get that going.
We need to 21. Blow this page up with likes and fans and
agreed.
Oh, I just hit like and it jumped up by 3. You guys are all over this.
We're on this. In fact, I'm going to say, hey, help a guy out on Twitter. Boom. Done.
Poor speech impediment guy.
That's awesome. Well, anyway.
Kind of a like on the Facebook.
You cut the brim of my hat off. All right. So the movie's Bloodsport. You may have figured it out by now. Bloodsport is the movie, and I haven't seen it since the 80s. It's been a very long time for me. So I feel like I have kind of one of those perfect perspectives of a movie where I thought it was so awesome when I first saw it. And now think that it's not really? Nearly as awesome as I thought it was. Oh, dude, I was like 10 and I thought it was amazing. I thought it was amazing when I was a kid. Just seemed like the most cool karate chopping badass movie ever made. Wow. Now, I'm not so sure. Not so sure about that.
Not sure? Still on the fence.
Still on the fence. A little bit on the fence. But Scott Fletcher knows more about this movie than we do, and he's going to explain it now. Take it away, Scott Fletcher.
Bloodsport. Based on true events, Jean-Claude Van Damme makes his starring debut in this kickboxing extravaganza that follows American Frank D. on his quest to become champion of a secret, dangerous martial arts contest called the Kumite. 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 Kumite.
You can tell Scott Fletcher didn't actually watch the movie.
Nope.
Before recording that.
No. Lucky bastard.
No, he'll do it later, though. He always does.
Because, like, for me, the whole movie, I thought, oh, his last name is spelled D-U-K-E-S.
Yeah. Right.
And so I was shocked when I looked it up and found out it was D-U-X.
When they showed it on the sign. Yeah, like, oh, ducks. No wonder they thought that.
Well, I'm impressed that Scott decided to go the route of trying to apply French to it, or in this case, Belgian. Or Belgium? Is it still French they speak? They still speak French in Belgium.
Belgish.
Right? Belgish. Belch. Mm-hmm. They speak Belch.
I'm not going to make any calls on that because I have no clue.
Yeah, I believe they speak French in Belgium.
Brian Dunaway, the whole point of having no clue is to make a guess.
Yeah, no, it is not.
But what if they spoke Belch? That'd be better.
Yes.
Belgianese.
Because then it would sound...
That's actually what he was speaking.
Yeah, they said, hey, kid, watch out for your hat. Oh, gosh, kid. Just calm down.
Wow.
Oh, I'm speaking of Belch.
That was beautiful.
Speaking Belch.
So yeah, Bloodsport. Frank Dukes is his name, I guess. It is really Frank Dux, D-U-X. Spent most of his life being trained by this dude, this guy, and he teaches him to be able to fight in the Kumite fight. That's how you pronounce it.
Oh, I thought it was committee.
It's
nothing
weird
good
how
was ever solved by Kumite.
Committee. The committee fight.
It's weird how in the movie, so many people, including Asian actors, can't say Kumite. Yeah. They just butcher it.
Yeah, I wonder why that clearly, was. Why do you think that was?
They weren't directed to say it correctly.
Oh, all right. Because there wasn't a lot of directing going on in this movie. No. It's pretty bad that way. Like, there's some cool fights. There are some cool martial arts on display, mostly because the people involved, the actors, are actual martial artists, unless you count the guy from Revenge of the Nerds or How to Kill a Nerd or whatever it is.
Okay.
But the rest of them, they all seem like really in shape, really capable martial artists, although the dude from Africa, that was a totally fake style. That monkey style was complete bullcrap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we all wanted monkey.
It wasn't drunk
right.
Monkey, drunken monkey fighting.
It wasn't even that.
It was just crawl around on the floor like a crab.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was a Dr. Zoidberg fighting style. anyway, that because there's a lot of that going on. There's something to be said about that last third of the movie in terms of what's on display. It seems like there's some really good stuff. I don't think the choreography is that great anymore. I think that stuff, like a lot of the hits that Randy alluded to, are super fake looking. A lot of sort of bad timing and things like that. But you couldn't deny the athleticism on display with some of these people, especially Van Damme, who is, in his prime and his first starring role. And he looked great. Like, holy crap, oh, totally. That guy can tear it up,
And you know, this was a thing back when Van Damme first started doing these movies. You were instantly suspicious of your girlfriend because she was okay with going and seeing a martial arts film or something with Van Damme. You're like, why are you wanting to go see this? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because of the butt scenes. Women mm-hmm. would literally attend a movie with a guy to see Van Damme's butt because it's always guaranteed.
Yeah. You just said you wouldn't take guesses if you didn't know something.
Well, I do know that. No, I said I have no clue. That's totally different. No clue, no guess.
Yeah, good point.
Some clue, I might guess. All right. A little bit of data, I'm guessing.
Sure.
Now, does he have a clause in his contract that he has to do the splits in every movie?
I think so. Yes. And in fact, now he plays on it because like that, what is it, that big commercial?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Volvo truck.
And I didn't realize, so leading up to that truck, when I saw the truck commercial, even though we've seen a bunch of his movies on this show, and we've seen him do those splits, and we've made fun of them, especially in Time Cop, where he jumps up in the kitchen to avoid getting shot or whatever happened.
Yeah.
Because they made no sense in that movie.
But even then, but they were doing that just to do it, right? Well, I guess that's like his thing, and it didn't occur to me. It's like Arnold's I'll Be Back, but it's never really smacked me in the face until I saw Bloodsport again.
Oh, totally remember that. He would always jump up and have his ass end, usually, when he would do the splits, you know, facing towards the camera. But yeah, that was his thing.
Is it his I'll Be Back? Would that be what we would call that for?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is my
his calling card.
Yeah. Right. This is my ass.
Yeah.
My ass will be back.
Yeah.
There it is. This is my back. There you go. That's what he meant to say. It's, I don't know. I don't know what I expected. I came in this thinking, you know, well, it's based on a true story, and I remember being a very young person thinking this was just so freaking rad. And on Twitter, people are like, "Oh, it's totally my favorite Van Damme movie by far." Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe this is better than I thought. And then I got into it, and I went, "This isn't very good at all." And where's the scene where he puts glass on his fists? And then I realized, well, that's Kickboxer.
Right.
That's later. That didn't happen yet. And then I was disappointed that wasn't in there. And then a couple of moments of like, all right, now, hey, look at that. There's some real rough business going on in that ring. And then it would get dumb again. And I think on the whole, if I had to kind of percentage it out a little bit, I'd say it's like 75% kind of dumb. You know, not nearly as cool as I remember it being.
So there's the whole subplot, right? Mm. And the unnecessary subplot. It's almost a trope, but I mean, it's not, but it could be like in film sack movies, the trope of the unnecessary subplot.
Yeah.
In The Quest, which is this sister's kissing cousin. Kissing sister's cousin? I don't know.
Yeah. I kept confusing this with that.
In The Quest, the subplot is that there's a heist going on, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, the subplot is for no reason that makes any sense except the writer is a liar about himself.
Because this is supposed to be based on a true dude and it's complete bunk, right?
Based on real events from Frank Dukes. Mm-hmm.
For no reason that's ever given, he is the army's most dangerous weapon and they can't let him go participating in some tournament where he might get injured or die. So they're going to chase him all the way across the world. And then after chasing him all the way across the world, they're going to keep encountering him on the street and watching him run away. Like, they're not going to show up at the tournament and catch him on the way through the door. They're going to just keep eating noodles and chasing him around.
Well, and then sitting down and rooting for him at one point.
right.
And the best part about that pair was not just that one of them is famed actor
Forrest Whitaker,
but because Forrest Whitaker's character is in serious need of a promotion because I'm telling you, dude, that old withered up Reed he's with would not let Forrest Whitaker say or do
sentence.
It was, I mean, one time, fine. I get it. He's a hothead. The guy's got to keep him under control. Then it happened like five more times and I went, that's a terrible, terrible. It's not even a stereotype. It's just dumb. Quit doing that. Let him have something to say or do. You know, like let him aim the taser one time. Let him try to fire it.
Well, they did. They kept him in their jacket pockets all, and they both got to.
Oh, that's right. They both had
pull him out and aim him. Yeah, sure.
Well,
they never really. Well, I guess they did get to use him at, as you mentioned, the deflector trash can lid.
Yeah, and it shot two good Hong aim. Kong guys. Yeah,
yes, mm-hmm. you can take two ricocheting taser darts.
Yeah.
And carefully point them towards two people standing. That is just great. It's well done.
He's amazing. Jean-Claude Van
Master physics is what he is.
By the way, on celebritynetworth.com, which I don't hold much credence to when it comes to most things, but Frank Dukes on there is listed as being worth precisely $0.
So he's got about the same amount of money as Randy Quaid.
Basically. He is he's screenwriter, actor, martial artist Frank Dux, and he doesn't have any money. So
I want you to look up another person in the movie because I want to talk about him. This best trivia in the movie is that the big bad dude who, if you weren't looking up the names and you just Chun-Li. Watched the movie, you would have thought his name was Jolly, because they're all chanting Jolly, Jolly.
And well, did you not see the Family Feud board up top that was saying everybody's name?
Yeah. That was great.
It was so Family Feud.
Show me Chun-Li. Ding.
Actor is in all these movies. Every one of these movies, he's in them.
Yeah.
Really?
He was in Double Impact. He's in Enter the Dragon. He's in Shoot Fighter. His name is Bolo Young, and he's from Hong Kong, and he was 10 consecutive times Mr. Hong Kong.
Wow.
10 consecutive years.
Mm. And what does that make you?
Say,
just because you're
that?
Buff? Because he had a physique like a bodybuilder, not like a martial artist to me. Obviously, obviously he knew some stuff. He seemed like he was moving just fine, but those pecs and those arms and stuff.
Those pecs, man. I mean, apparently, it's like his nipples were practically on his abdomen.
Right, yeah. Right.
Apparently, so the key to being a great fighter is when you punch and it connects, you have to be looking off 90 degrees away from the punch with your mouth wide open and your eyes bugging out. And you have to hold that.
Yes.
And he's a master at doing that.
Shake your head as you...
I'm trying to find him now, like current day. Oh, there he is.
Bolo Young. I don't know what he's worth.
He looks great. You know what? He's defying aging. Wow. Look at him. He looks fine. I knew I'd seen him before, but is he always the bad guy though, or does he end up ever being like an ally to Jean-Claude in any of these movies? I don't remember enough about, say, Double Impact or whatever.
There was a point when the Asians all stopped being triad bad guys and started being good guys in these kind of movies.
Mm.
But I don't know if any of his fall after that.
Born in 46, that would make him...
He was about 36, 37 when they made this movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That has a lot of muscle on him for his late 30s.
He looks great, and he's still doing very little. Let's see. I thought I was going to say he's doing a lot, but he's really doing not much at all. The last thing he did was something called Shoot Fighter.
No way.
Yeah, Shoot Fighter 2, in fact, in 1996. Yeah. And then there was a small trainer role in something in 2007 called The Ultimate Fighter. And then in 2014, The Whole World at Our Feet. And I don't know what that is or if it's even out yet. But anyway, that must be some kind of... Oh, no, that looks like a movie. How is this possible? Amar DeSante,
Peter O'Toole,
Michael Madsen.
What?
What?
Tiny Lister.
What?
President from Fifth Element.
Yeah. What is this called?
Don the Dragon Wilson. This has to be a documentary.
The Whole World at Our Feet.
Yeah. Huh.
Is it? No, they have character names. Michael, Tugboat, and Musa are the three top credited names. I'm trying to find
anything about it. That just can't.
I'm in. I'm all in. Whatever that is.
Shitting.
Sounds
great. Cast.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd like
Except
to see
for Michael Madsen. He ruins everything.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so bad.
Kind of true. But anyway, it's just interesting how this thing is made to be all... It's coloring by the numbers in every single way, which is funny because this is supposed to be based on some guy's real life, which is such a joke. But you know, this it's just so two-dimensional bad guy. Sensei, got raised by a sensei, walked into a room. All he had to do was look at the little freaking incense station and go, oh, my childhood memories are flooding back when I was a punk wearing a Giants jacket. And
when I was a member of the Beastie Boys.
Dude. He was like Adam Yacht walking in there. God rest his soul. Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt the guy who wrote this is just lying about every bit of it. But what a white guy fantasy that you would... Mm. That some amazing fighter would disregard his own son to train you, the white boy. Like, every part of this movie, there's all this white man, you know, traveling the world, defeating every country.
Yep. It's the white man saves everybody. Now, the only big difference is it's not American white man. Instead, like, imagine this if Donald Gibb, a.k.a. Ray Jackson, a.k.a. Nerds! That guy.
Right. Nerds.
What if he was the savior of the planet and his sidekick was a little skinny French guy?
Imagine he was the savior of this movie.
Yeah, well.
He was.
He was pretty good.
Holy cow.
I enjoyed him.
Have you guys looked at a picture of Frank Dukes,
by the way? Oh, no, I'm looking at Donald Gibb. Frank Dukes today, you mean?
Well, Frank Dukes. Just do a search for Frank Dukes. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, yeah, today. He looks more like the kid that plays the young Frank Dukes.
Right.
Oh, weird.
He does.
Oh, that's totally weird.
Yeah.
And what's he doing now? You know he's got talent. Here, I'm going to look it up.
He actually looks more like Donald Gibb than... Claude Van Damme.
He's in a video game of some sort. Looks like somebody stuck him in a wrestling game, All-Star Wrestler or something.
Okay.
Here's another shot of him in Mexico. Yeah, he's busy.
Well, people either love him or hate him. I mean, you either believe what he says or you think he's full of crap.
Why would anyone believe? No one would actually believe what he says. Like, did you see the cards at the end of the movie with these ridiculous claims?
Yeah, and it went forever, by the way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that went a long time. In fact, the first one says, this motion picture is based upon the true events in the life of Frank W. Dukes.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a screenshot of the follow-up cards with, like, all of his records.
Hmm.
You know, 0.7 seconds to his first knockout.
It was like a 14-year-old had written it, that last bit. And why not? I mean, by the time you get to the end of this movie, you should have ridiculous stuff to say.
Why is there no documentary about this guy? I would watch this in a heartbeat, like... talking about his life and why he made the story up and where it took him or whatever. Like, that would be really interesting to me. But he really isn't doing much now. Let's put it that way. He's 58, by the way. 58 years old. He's only 8 years Brad Pitt's senior. Think of it that way.
Oh, the LA Times apparently did an article about him
called
Hero or Master Fake? Others Kick Holes in Fabled Past of Woodland Hills Martial Arts Teacher.
Huh.
Yeah, my favorite thing.
Never ventured closer to Southeast Asia than San Diego.
Yeah. My favorite thing in that article is that they say that the organization that staged the Kumite had the same address as Dukes' house. I love that.
Yeah. Can we use your address for tax purposes?
Please. Not to
He apparently decided to show off a trophy that he won at the Kumite. He went and bought a trophy at a local trophy store.
Wow.
Who confirmed that.
No.
So is the Kumite, the Kumite is an actual thing then? That's a real deal? Like, that's a fight?
It's a real word.
Yeah, but is it a real fight in Hong Kong I could go to and compete in
Who knows? Because it's underground. It's like, it's, you know, there's it's like Fight Club. Nobody talks. The number one rule, Kumite.
Nobody says Kumite.
You cannot pronounce Kumite.
They say Kumite and committee. And yeah.
Closely followed by the rule of if it's gold and it falls on the floor, you can pick it up and take it.
Yeah.
But you have to bite it first.
Yes, but even if it comes out of their mouth, dude, they don't care.
Right.
They don't care. That guy didn't care. He was ready for gold is what he was ready for. So look at this guy. This director, Newt Arnold, who made this movie. Born in 22, died in 2000 at the age of 77. He is known for some pretty serious stuff. This is not one of them. Well, he's known for this, but he is known as second unit director for some big stuff, including Godfather Part II, Blade Runner, The Goonies.
Yep.
Wow.
Nash Bridges, a bunch of stuff before he died.
Very nice.
A Simple Plan, which was fantastic. That's a great movie. Yeah. 12 Angry Men, Walk in the Clouds.
Which 12 Angry Men did he direct?
Let's see, looks like The Eighth Man.
Not the original one.
No, The Eighth Angry Man.
I noticed you skipped right over Alan Quartermain and The Lost City of Gold.
Oh, I did skip over that. Whoops.
That's going to be coming up on our list at some point.
Oh, soon. Now look at this one. Additional second unit director as Newton Dennis Arnold on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. So there's that. Right.
Wow.
Anyway, hey, the man liked to work. The man liked to
He's
work.
He's busy. That's look at that. Say. Jeez. Right. His second unit work is longer than... as many Most years as I've been alive.
His second unit is longer than my first unit.
See? Zing.
I've heard that.
Anyway. So, and we've seen a few movies that he had a hand in. He was part of Last Action Hero. Let's see. 16 Candles did something with that. We didn't do that movie, I guess. Towering Inferno. If we haven't done that, we should. We haven't done that. We should.
We haven't done that. Right? Mm-hmm.
We should.
We need more 70s disaster films.
I agree.
More Irwin Allen.
Yep. Oh, he was first unit director on Convoy. We've done that. Anyway, it just surprised me how busy that guy was in Hollywood and how this was a one of only four movies he ever directed, and it wasn't very good. I mean, it was okay. Look, whatever.
I think it was. I don't want to say it was bad. I mean, it was just a product of his time.
Right. Yeah, you have to put it in its time.
Yeah, you really do. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is, I'm not even knocking it. There are way worse things out there. It's just. We all have a fantasy. Well, I don't want to speak to everybody. I had a fantasy in my head that this movie was much more than what it is. And that's how it is. You see something as a kid, and when you go see it later, you go, I don't remember this many Muppets in Return of the Jedi. That's a lot of Muppets in this, mm-hmm. you know, you don't remember those things. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are, you know, legions of kids my son's age who saw Clone Wars and thought it was the greatest thing they ever saw. And then one day they're going to go, what the hell was I doing? Mm-hmm. So this feels like that for me. And again, I did not hate my time with it. It went really quick. I was entertained. I laughed anytime there was any kind of meaningful dialogue they were taking themselves serious with. Oh, somebody on Twitter said, this is my favorite martial arts comedy movie. Mm-hmm. And, I wrote back and I said, you're kidding about the comedy part because I think they're being really self-serious. And he hasn't written me back, but I don't know if this guy really thought that that's...
I don't think he really... I think he's pulling your chain.
It must have been, yeah.
Yeah. Now, is this... I know this isn't your first time viewing it.
No.
But what about... for me, it was the first time. What about the two of you?
It was my first time, yeah.
It was this was not my first viewing. I've watched this probably about 10, not even that long ago. It was early on in Extra Life Radio because Obsidian loved this movie.
It's one of his favorites.
And and he talked us into watching. I remember when it came out on Netflix, I watched it.
Sure.
That's probably been, I don't know, probably at least five, six, seven years ago.
Yeah. And he was, right. It was this and Future Sport. He liked movies with sport in it. We used to tease him about that. And, I haven't seen it since I was a kid. So for me, it's almost like a first time. Like nothing felt familiar to me. I was like, whoa, I don't remember this. I don't remember this. In fact, all that I felt was like, I've seen The Quest with you guys. Where's Roger Moore?
I kept thinking this. The fight seemed mm-hmm. very similar, and they had that whole montage of having everybody from around the world coming to a single location to. Well,
plus, it's the same thing. It's here's a centralized underground fight mm-hmm. where everyone comes by invitation only. I mean, the only difference is nobody's trying to fly a giant gold lion or whatever the hell that was out.
And I really missed that part.
Yeah, I did too.
There was a scene where Forrest Whitaker Fed addressed the very serious topic of. Dog food or of Chinese food being made of dog, and he threw the Chinese dog food, literally food
right,
made from dog.
That's
at
right.
The dog. Yeah,
he and threw the Chinese food to the dog, and the dog refused to eat it.
He said,
"Oh yeah, right."
I don't even know. I forgot about that, but yeah, weird.
What was that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
I think it was supposed to mean that this food is so horrible that and Forrest Whitaker almost ate this horrible food, and even a dog wouldn't eat this horrible food.
So a quick piece of stuff that I looked up while I was doing this because I was very curious. This is so early in his career. He had not yet developed that weird lump on his head that he has in every other movie. And,
you're talking about Van Damme.
Van Damme. He's famous for this lump. Yeah. No, not Forrest Whitaker. Mm-hmm. Although Whitaker's way bigger than you think he is. He's a tall dude. Anyway, yeah. I noticed the bump wasn't there, and it's in everything else, very prominently in things that were just a couple years later, probably from getting kicked in the head a couple of times. But what it is, I found out what it is, and I actually now I share something with Jean-Claude Van Damme, besides my striking good looks and my martial artist prowess.
Uh-huh.
He has this thing on his head called a lipoma. Mm-hmm. And I have one on my back. It's exactly the same thing diagnosed as such. We went to get checked because we weren't sure what it was. It felt like a lump or something. And it turns out people sometimes build these what's referred
fatty,
to as
fatty
like, it's like a fatty tumor, but it's not so much fat.
It's not a tumor.
It's not so much fat. It's just tissue. It's kind of floating. It's not painful. Mm-hmm. And people get it all the time. Supposedly Harrison Ford has one that came from his scar on his chin, but it got worse because of this.
I've got one on my right shoulder blade.
Yeah. And that's very common to have on your back. That's true.
I asked my doctor, would you please take a look at this? It's just like, it feels like it's gotten a little bigger the last few years. And she checked it out and she's like, you know, you're really lucky. Like, what? Why am I really lucky? She's like, most people, when they have these on their back, they have like a dozen.
Wow. Oh, really?
Oh, jeez.
Whoa.
I only have one on my back.
Take it off.
You and I are both lucky, I guess. So yeah, we share that with him. Then we all have a lipoma floating around on our.
How about you, Ibbet? What you got? I got a lipoma under my nose.
I can't see my back, but I think I'm clear. Right above my quiche there, I've got a lipoma.
That's awesome.
She said that she could have a surgeon remove it if it was causing me pain, and I actually thought for a moment. Do I want to lie and say this is causing me pain? Because it's causing me pain to think about it.
Yeah.
Is the problem.
Yeah. I have Kim check it all the time, and I go, is it bigger?
She's like, Kim, will you check this out?
She says it's since I lost 50 pounds, she says it's floatier. is what she says. Right. That makes sense. That makes sense because I've lost all that weight.
Those chills.
Well, I've lost all that weight, so it's just like less there to like float with.
No, it's around my knees.
That's an adjective
knees.
That just shouldn't be.
But it isn't like you can take your thumb and like push it down and around your front or anything. It's,
I'm picturing Brent Brushwood pushing a little pin through his eyelids. Yeah. It's floatier. Mm-hmm.
It does have that quality to it. I don't. No. It does feel like a foreign body, and it doesn't hurt and has no feeling other than just, you know, pushing on it.
I didn't know we could freak out Ibbit. That's the new thing I'm going to have to shoot for now.
I'm not that hard to freak out.
Thickened liquid. This. Yeah. What's your third thing? Give us a third thing.
Anything on Tosh.0 where somebody's neck, or fail of the week.
Oh my gosh.
Where somebody's neck, like they do a skateboard flip and they land on the back of their neck and their body folds over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't do those. Yeah.
Yeah. My.
Can't watch Wipeout, can you?
Does your groin hurt anytime that happens? Mine does. Is that a weird thing?
It's like I go, like, you know, and my fingers all jut out and kind of weird, like, ugh.
That was so descriptive.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I need a YouTube reactionary video from that.
You kind of need, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, well, next Nerdtacular, I'm going to ask you to come out of the audience and rub my lipoma for a minute.
Sure, I'm going to floaty it around your body.
Yeah, I can just make it feel a little floaty.
I'm interested that you came up with the word lipoma because I have heard the phrase fatty tumor so many times, and it just sounds like it's really bad.
Six letters. You can handle that.
Like, but like it sounds like a really bad old school like billiards pro.
Yeah, it does. Or like
fatty, fatty tumor.
Or like a guy that runs a speakeasy. It's like, hey, you want to get in? You got to attack the fatty tumor over there. See?
Exactly.
Fatty tumor is my.
That's brilliant.
My informant.
But wasn't there was a professional pool? Fats. Domino. Minnesota Fats. That's
Minnesota
it.
Fats.
Minnesota Fats. Fats Domino was that was a music guy.
Musician?
Yeah.
And he had
the answer to Chubby Checker.
You could roll his
or nose the other way around, I guess.
I'm glad this went to fatty tumors.
He had two of those fatty tumors and he'd make you push them around, but they were in his crotch. So be careful.
Push it around. Go ahead.
Ooh, double sixes.
That's what she said.
So anyway, you're gonna make me do that?
That's what she said.
All right, thank you. So Bloodsport. What else? The monkey style thing the guy was doing, that was totally fake. We talked about that. Here's some interesting trivia. Even after it was filmed, the movie was almost never released. Actually, almost didn't get out. JCVD himself helped edit the film so that it could be.
and I was waiting for this because this is some of the worst edited film I've ever seen. The cuts in this movie happen either before you've finished seeing what you're supposed to be seeing or after the actor has delivered the line and is no longer giving the look that you expect.
Yeah.
Right.
There are so many examples of that.
Yeah. Popped out of character. It's like when his adopted mother opens the door at the very beginning of the film, it's just a silent, like, open the door. And then she kind of, her face kind of falls a second, like, cut to Jean-Claude Van Damme. He smiles.
Yep.
His face kind of falls a second. Okay. That's all we get for this.
Some bad editing. It
is some bad editing, but also it also created something that was kind of unique from that time. And we are actually, I've seen a little bit of nostalgia for this. And that's that long shot that never goes away. And you just got this longing look in the actor's eyes. And they put like that rock music, that 80s music over top of it.
Yeah.
And it kind of
Survivor when you need them.
It's very Survivorish. And I think it actually created something that was not intentional.
Yeah.
Across the sky.
It is all Survivor light, isn't it? All this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the montage bit in the middle is very
Yeah, what was up with the middle montage? We don't get that often.
Okay. Have we ever had a movie that started with a montage? Because this did.
A montage within a flashback.
Yeah. Right.
And easily the longest. So of all the film sack movies we've seen, plenty of montages, plenty of flashbacks, never so much crossover and never so long. Like that was good 15 minutes or something of this movie was him. And he stood there a long time. And every couple seconds it was like, and I remember as a kid thinking the scenes, I do remember this very vividly, when he's fighting Big Boobs there at the end.
Yeah, Big Boobs.
Big Pecs. Old Uncle Big Pecs over there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He when he was going and kind of shaking in slow motion, he's kind of blinded by the freaking powder or whatever.
Yeah.
Although he could have seen a lot better. Every time they showed the view, I'm like, hey, you can see enough, dude. You can see enough.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That and also, you know what would have been better if if his trainer had have said, you know what? I'm not going to spend 5 years teaching you how to fight blind. I'm going to tell you this. Some of these guys have tablets and are going to try to spray it in your face. So just avoid any type of damage to your eyes.
Yeah. What he actually told JBCD was, JCVD was, when you get thrown, when stuff gets thrown at your face, what you want to do is stare wide eyed and blink. Right? Don't turn away.
Mm-hmm. And be sure to rub it in real good.
Right.
That's pretty true. But I forgot where I was going with that. My point. Oh, so he does the same thing. He's blinded. The big guy's up there standing over him, making terrible faces at him. Right. And he would flash back during that. Mm-hmm. And he would flash back to when he was at the dinner table, getting the tea ready with the blindfold on. And now remembering all the Zen moments of like being pulled between those trees in that torture position and then somehow zenning through it.
You mean a master and his wife's sex swing?
Yeah, that thing. Exactly. So when he did that, I remember being young going, that is so cool. What a great callback. I wondered what those scenes were for. Now it all's coming together for me. And right. I watched it now and just went, that's really dumb and so easy to do. And why couldn't I have made this movie and been a millionaire guy? Like, it just seems so dumb to me now. And I'm a little sad about that because I really wanted this to be like, you know, these are the primordial Jean-Claude. This is before, you know, he got huge and everything went to his head and whatever. And it's just not that great. I mean, the best movie he ever made is still Hard Target for me. That stays there.
Do we look back on the movies that we loved as kids growing up and are bummed when they're not as good when we're older because we feel like, God, what was wrong with my taste? Like you kind of blame yourself and say,
I don't think so. What is it though?
Yeah,
we talked about this when we watched Revenge of the Ninja because I had seen it when I was a little kid. I love that movie. And then watching it again, I'm like, okay, it's awful, but I can still access the stuff that I got when I was young and thought it was so amazing.
Time Bandits really is that for me. And like we had the same conversation then because Time Bandits holds a special place for me. And Randy had never seen it. And when he did see it, he was like, ugh, well, why is this everybody's favorite childhood movie?
It's so bad.
Yeah. And I love that movie. And I still do, but I kind of see what you mean. So maybe we're just able to retain, maybe the very definition of nostalgia is retaining whatever that is. Enough of it anyway to still have all these fond feelings about it. So I can watch something like, I don't know, some things just hold up though. Like none of us are here saying, hey, Back to the Future sucks if you watch it again. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's still good. No. And it's not just Huey Lewis in the news. There's other reasons. It's saving the clock tower. But you know what I mean? Like there are moments in that movie where you're like, yeah, this is very 80s and yeah, this is old or whatever. But I never once go, boy, is this sure isn't holding up, this thing that we're watching right now. It's good. So what's the difference? Is it just that as a kid, you can't tell quality, but sometimes nostalgia and quality can coexist.
Right, right. The timelessness of something is a constant, whereas, you know, something that's bad, you just didn't know how bad it was at the time.
Mm-hmm. And your parents probably tried to tell you and you just weren't listening.
No, I think that was it's good. Yeah. It's good.
Watch it again. Shut up.
Yeah. By the way, I made the kids, didn't make them. We sat down and watched.
Well, you're going to watch it, buddy.
We watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which I haven't also seen since 88.
I've heard that. That's probably not going to hold.
You know what? It kind of holds up.
Yeah.
There are moments where it's got serious problems, but there is some artistry going on that is still kind of unprecedented. I find Roger Rabbit horribly annoying, and I did then, for the record, but there's a lot about that movie that actually kind of totally holds
up. That's a really good use of the word unprecedented, because no one really tries to make a movie like Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
No, it's seriously ambitious, and just the technical sort of I said this earlier about box trolls earlier, but this discipline on display is really hard to deny, especially if you see it now going, no, wait a minute, this is pre-CGI everything. This is all hand done. This is all weird, crazy post effects, like all very practical effects drawn on film on celluloid, like crazy stuff like that. And some of it is kind of eye popping. Like you're like, whoa, did he really just do that in water with a cartoon that wasn't there and was not digitally inserted later? It's kind of insane how some of that stuff not only holds up, but still impresses. There's some, you know, the latter part of it kind of blows, but it's just some crappy story stuff at the end. But anyway, my point is, I don't even know what my point is. My point is, I guess, that sometimes these things don't hold up and your nostalgia is a little bit injured, like it is with Bloodsport for me. But then sometimes both hold up and they do just fine. And maybe in 20, maybe it needs 20 more years for Back to the Future to not hold up, I guess, or something. I don't know. Or does it never not hold up? Is it like an old black and white movie where my grandma loved that stuff, but I can't watch Cary Grant going, listen, baby, give me a cash. I can't do that. That's just silly to me. It can never be serious to me.
Wow. Are you that offensive to your grandma?
He's not, it's not even the right guy. It's more like Cary Grant.
Cary Grant sounds a lot like Marlon Brando.
But you know what I mean? Listen, sister, how did he talk?
Yeah, that's a little closer.
I've got to somehow, I can't do it. But anyway, the point is that, I mean, don't you think that there's like there's a certain point of no return for these things? Maybe we eventually get to all of them. Or right. Maybe we get desensitized to the point that, like, Bloodsport being made today would be so much more visceral. Camera work would be crazy. Post effects and stuff would be so intense. Like, they would make something that was much more visceral, much more appropriate to my current level of what I need from an action karate movie.
Right. You're looking at a movie that was made right before Ultimate Fighting kicked off, really changed the way we look at fighting. And right before Ultimate Fighting, right before the UFC started, there was this thing going around called shoot fighting that was just the UFC only in Japan. And the first time, I remember the very first time I ever saw a VHS tape where somebody had recorded a shoot fighting tournament like on a pay-per-view. And it blew my mind. Like, oh, so this is what happens when people actually fight. And it makes Bloodsport look all wrong. But if you made Bloodsport today, you would have that to go on. You would have all of this actual mixed martial arts to go on. You would have less of the monkey and the, you know, the missing the punches and silly pulled kicks and stuff, right? Like, it would look amazing, I hope, I think.
Yeah. Well, for about 5 years until 10 years from now, everybody looks back and goes, that's stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Why aren't they using their...
Can you believe we actually used CGI back then? Yeah, oh, my God. What were you thinking?
So stupid. Crazy. Yeah. But like, I saw part of Jurassic Park the other day, and I thought, well, this looks pretty good still. And then the scene, and I felt like that for years, right? But then the scene with the raptors in the kitchen came on.
Right.
And they're starting to look all... kind of shiny and weird. I don't know. It's starting to fall apart.
I think there's a little bit of different things going on here. I think, first of all, our filming techniques change so much, you know, every couple of decades. And I think that we can't relate to, like, grandma's movies because of the characters. We can't relate to them because we didn't live during that time. We can't understand why someone having a love affair like that, because it makes no sense to us socially now. Whereas things like from the 80s that were like this Bloodsport, we can't relate to how some of the shots were made. You know, we could, like, the it was like, wow, why would you use slow motion there? That's stupid. You know,
although in this case, I think some of the slow motion was the best bits in this movie.
It was. It was amazing because one of the fight scenes, it was a slow motion, and I was actually impressed that it was in slow motion and that Van Damme was kicking him in slow motion, because it was such a deep impact.
Yeah.
The way he kicked him in the gut, that was like he actually had to make contact. I don't know how
there were fast a few of those. Yeah. There were a few of those. You could always tell when they were doing that for real, because the two combatants, and a couple of cases Van Damme, but they were clearly guys who were sparring, fighting dudes. Yeah, they know their stuff. You didn't have it with, you know, nerd guy when he would fight or somebody else, but when you'd see those guys make contact, that really added to the realism of it. But then the very next scene, they'd be fighting some Pakistani fighter or something, and a slow motion shot of his foot going past his face, and then so a good second later, the guy would react. Like, some of that stuff was like, okay.
I felt so American during some of these scenes. I was like, I have no idea what nationality that guy's supposed to be. What is he supposed to be? Even? Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah,
is he Ethiopian?
Well, the Arabic really guys were awesome. The Arabic guys were my favorite. The ones in the bar. Right. That made the bet with the coin.
Oh, yeah.
Hussein.
Hussein, right. That was one of the guys' name, yes.
Yeah, he got swapped for an American quarter for a Canadian nickel, I think is what happened when Van Damme switched that. So, yeah.
But one of them, you couldn't.
I thought it was like a peso or something.
I have no idea what it was.
But these movies have one of my favorite tropes, which is this right here. It's that mullet-wearing, glasses-wearing, crazy trainer guy.
Gonna help you out.
He's so excited.
Massive glasses.
Yeah.
And he's so windshields.
He's so excited. He's such a little shyster. You never know. He's basically like the Asian Buscemi is what he is.
Right.
And hey, I love that. Yeah.
What could you guys figure out? I was trying to figure out what the rated R was for, but obviously it was for, you know, there was
one F bomb. Couple of shits.
Way more than one F bomb.
I only heard one. I thought
it was like three or four.
Were there?
Yeah.
No. I thought only counted one. I was actually surprised. I just felt like this was an era before R. You know, R. This wouldn't be R today. I think this would have been PG-13.
That's why they call it Bloodsport. And I was like, really? I mean, there's like a splattering of blood. I want to see some massive blood here.
I think you were waiting for Kickboxer, because my memory is that Kickboxer is way more violent than this.
That's exactly what I was expecting. Because Bloodsport, I was expecting a lot of blood. Didn't really see
that. Shoot Sport or whatever that other movie
Shoot
was.
Sport.
Yeah.
Shoot Fighter.
Yeah.
Shoot Fighter.
And then Brian, or Randy, I was going to actually say, you just brought up the fact Shoot Fighters, or yeah, Shoot Fighting is an actual thing. That's a deal.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot Fighting?
Yeah. Yeah, you were just talking about some Japanese.
Yeah, yeah, it was the other movie. What was that other movie? Yeah.
And I love it. I love it because they used to call it Shuto, and I just think that's so cute. Shuto.
Shuto.
Well, what is shoot fighting? Do you use a gun or something?
It's just Japanese fast jujitsu, and
you just miss a lot and go shoot.
Right, and so one of the things that some of the referees would do, and it's just the very last precursor to Ultimate Fighting.
Yeah.
Some of the referees would make a gun with their finger.
Uh-huh.
While they were watching, to let the fighters know, I'm looking right here. I'm looking right and point weird at what they were. So there was actually like the refs would look like they were doing a little fake shooting.
That's but, funny.
Yeah.
Is he saying he's going to shoot me? I'm not taking this from the ref.
The real deal.
I'd never heard of it before this. So I learned something new every day, you guys.
You know what? I learned this movie. It's a trope.
What's that? Oh, wait. Hold on, man. Let's play a thing. Whoops. There you go.
I feel like a broken record. Like every single movie we watch, there was only one woman in the movie.
Yeah.
She had to get with the main character.
Yeah. Well, two women, the mother.
Yeah, oh, it's true. But you got to admit, there was a little Van Damme role reversal here where he was the one getting out of bed and putting on his clothing while she sat in the bed and longingly stared at him, where that's usually reversed.
Yeah, yeah,
I think that's also
true
in Jean-Claude Van Damme's contract.
Yeah, because yeah, if he gets to wear man panties and walk around the room, that drives sales.
Make sure you get a shot of me sideways.
Yeah, check
best
this out.
Example. Look at best that example of the horrible editing,
it
by the way.
Awesome.
Look at he was the one awesome edited butt it now.
Huh? Yeah,
well, yeah.
He's like, that
longer,
scene,
longer shot, longer.
That scene, she stays in bed the whole time. He finally leaves, and then you get to see her watching him leave.
Yeah,
and the edit happens late, and for some reason, she just suddenly starts jumping up out of the bed in the middle of the edit.
Oh, yeah, right, it was right, yeah.
So
well, she's gonna go chase after him, or like,
or something.
Yeah, or follow, or like sneakily follow him.
Yeah.
She kind of did because she showed up at the fight right after that.
Right.
She has not done jack poop
but
for a while.
With a guy. Like,
yeah, she showed up at the fight wearing a cocktail dress with a $500 hairdo with some other guy who's never named. Yeah. That's another trope, right, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
The trope of you want it so bad, you can't get it. Oh, she got it.
Yep.
We don't know how.
There you go.
Wow.
That one was pretty good. I felt like rapping after I did that.
Mm-hmm. Could you guys, I speaking of the editing and maybe just the story direction, I couldn't tell whether Chung Lee, big pecs man, big pecs man, was actually killing people or not.
Yeah, he was at one point.
Well, he killed one guy for sure because it was all like, oh no.
They turned their back to him. Yeah,
I think that's the one that he killed because I don't think they had to make a big point of the fact that the judges turning their backs did not like the fact that he killed them.
Well, he broke, like I love the legality of this event. It's like, we do not approve and we will turn our back to you, even though you committed a capital freaking crime.
Because he chose to. It's okay if you inadvertently kill your opponent. They kind of want you to.
Yeah.
But if you could show mercy and you decide to break his neck, then you're bad.
But he broke that other guy's leg.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was awesome.
I think that was one of the R shots.
Oh, yeah. The
bone sticking out.
Yeah, I think whenever he did that pre-90.
That made my fingers all stick out.
Right. Like, hello, Shinbone. How are you?
Hey, I just figured out why you never followed in the Ibbot bloodline and became a doctor. I think I just figured it out. All these kinds of things. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Ugh, don't have the stomach.
So what are you in for? Oh, my bone's jutting out. Yay!
Well, I'm out. So anyway, this I was just going to say about this lady real quick. Leah Aries is her name. She played the love interest and lovely woman. She looks great today, but she has not done anything since 1998. She is out of acting and off and doing something else. 98 she was in Sliders. Remember that show? It was all about burgers, little tiny burgers.
Yeah. Love Sliders.
Let's see.
She was the replacement Marcia on the Brady's.
Yeah, she was. Was she? She was.
Yeah, Maureen McCormick said, I'm not going to do that shit. They pulled in this lady and said, all right.
Walker, Texas Ranger, Raven, Married with Children. Anyway, she did a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. And you're right. She was, Marcia.
She's, I mean, it started, her whole character starts halfway through the movie with a wager on who gets to keep the girl.
Yeah. Right. Which that she the only protest she gives is she tries to walk away. It's yep. like, excuse me, I'm nobody's. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yep. Although I do,
and then when it turns out to be a JCVD, she's like, oh, okay, well, then I'm going to go follow that with them. Right,
exactly.
Right. I like,
oh, you want me? All right.
I like that she is one of those people that's been in all the shows that we grew up with. She's been in Fantasy Island, Love Boat, and The A-Team. That's like, to me, the holy trinity of guest starring.
What really was her fantasy on Fantasy Island?
Let's see. I'm going to see if it says. That'd be fun to find out. It says here.
My fantasy is to be in a movie where I'm wagered on with a quarter.
Something about. Her half was called Sing Melancholy Baby, and she played Lauren Spencer. It doesn't say, wait, I'm going to find out. One more. Okay, here we go. Former rock singer now wants a baby, but not a husband. That's her.
Ah.
Because it was always two people, right? That was the way it was on Fantasy Island. The other fantasy was, I want to, oh no, sorry. A World War II vet wants another shot at winning an air battle against the Nazis.
Right. Whoa, that's a complicated fantasy to have.
It really is. Really?
My fantasy would be to hang out with Tattoo for an hour. That would be my...
Yeah, and just stand outside and call about planes.
Right.
I know they tried to remake that show in the 90s, right? Fantasy Island?
Yeah, they did.
I think it's due for another reboot.
I agree. Yeah. We go dark with this one, a little more sinister.
It needs to be on HBO.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, it was what's his face? Malcolm McDowell was the was the dude in the remake.
Yep. And it lasted like 5 whole minutes and is gone now. But I'm telling you, that's a great idea. Like, you could go places with it. I don't know if anyone's got the guts to do it, but I think it'd be awesome.
Mr. Rourke right now, picked from today's
Who's the Doctor Who that just stepped down? Is it Matt Smith? Who's the skinny, weird looking one, the younger one?
Oh, Chris Eccleston would be perfect.
Eccleston would be good too. Yeah. Any of the Who's would be good, actually.
I think you're right. That would be good.
I can't think of anybody else.
Gary Busey.
Oh my God. Dude. The best Fantasy Island ever. Oh,
welcome to Fantasy Island.
I wouldn't go on that side of the island if I were you.
Smiles, everyone. Smiles. I tattooed this person here. They want to have their endocrine system ripped out of their body.
And you know who it would be? It'd be Peter Dinklage, because who else is working today?
Oh, that would be, he'd be the only guy. Pissed at the whole thing.
It's got to be really weird to be a little person in Hollywood right now.
You know who you get is the guy who is all of the Oompa Loompas in the Tim Burton.
Deep Roy. Get Deep Roy.
Deep Roy would be your tattoo.
Yes. I just saw him on something.
He might have actually been the original tattoo, and we're just forgetting.
You know what? No, Hervé Village has offed himself, Deep Roy
in the
was...
remake, maybe.
Deep Roy was in Eastbound and Down, fantastically, in Eastbound and Down.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's hilarious in it. Anyway, he's working. He's ready.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got the squeaky little voice and all that stuff.
He's got I love it.
Take him out in time for the next Star Trek movie, and
I just like, but so something about Busey and Dinklage would make a great what if on Futurama, like what's the guy's name? I can't think of his name, but him and Kiff.
Zap Brannigan
and Kiff, they kind of have that whole Brannigan's crazy, and Kiff is like always rolling his eyes. Dinklage would be perfect at that. Anyway, whatever.
Make this happen.
If we were in Hollywood, things would be a lot different. We know that much. All right. You guys ready for some clips for this movie?
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, let me lay them on thick because I got a few here. This is the music that greets you in this film. Oh, yeah. Some sweet 80s beats. I love it. All right. The acting is this good.
The colonel found out you're going to Hong Kong. He wants to talk to you about it.
Tell him I'll be right there after I take a shower.
But I'll have to wait, sir.
Okay.
After I take a shart.
I'm going to take a shart.
I heard shart.
What kind of a deal?
All right. All right, there's a line I wrote. Where's the Dukes? Where's them Dukes? All right, here it is.
Where's Dukes?
He was at the gym, like you said. He took a shower, I waited, and he disappeared.
What do you mean he disappeared?
1 minute he was there, next he wasn't.
Jesus Christ, if anything happens to Dukes in Hong Kong... Get Helmer and Rollins on this right away. And I don't want to see your face again until Dukes is beside it. Understand?
You know, my favorite part is how one guy is reading on mic, other guy is in a closed booth somewhere.
Ten weeks later.
I was really hoping the movie was going to end with him standing next to Dukes.
Yeah, that'd be great, right?
saluting.
Hey, they, Chicken the Bucket was that. I'm calling it now. That dude was here. We got a theme for that. Here you go. Chicken the Bucket was the colonel guy who was just left hanging.
Yes. And I also want to ask, what happened to the son? How did he die?
He's another Chick in the Bucket. There's two of them in this movie.
He didn't die. He was weak. He couldn't be trained, and he needed to be protected.
But he kind of just disappeared.
Oh, I thought he died. I thought that's why they had a little shrine to him.
Right. Well, there was a nod to that.
Yeah.
They needed to show him being like murdered on this playground or something, and they never did.
Right. Right. That I thought was really funny. It's like, avenge his death. What death? We didn't see it.
Yeah.
Right.
We didn't even know it. Like, yeah. That's the reason why I thought the whole thing, I thought maybe he had hit him in the head. Like, it was like the blind training thing, and he had like hit him wrong or something.
Yeah, I'm saying, I wish they would have shown that. That would have been great. Right. They left that hanging. They left the colonel hanging. There was a bunch of stuff in the States that I would say are collective chicks in the bucket.
You should never leave the colonel hanging.
No, never. okay. Here is crap. I just skipped past it. Here we go. Here's the next one. This is, I already played that one. Here you go. Emotional moment for everyone. Here you go.
Knowledge passed from father to son, father to son.
To son.
Son.
Man, talking about feigning. Also, that guy never aged a minute. Did you notice that?
Right. He's like, I know I look like I'm exactly 30 years old, just like I did in the flashback.
I am perpetually.
You're remembering it wrong.
Yeah. You don't. It's your memory. Let's see. Plot point. Here's a plot point. Right here.
Look, guys, I know there's a secret full contact event being held in Hong Kong in the next few days.
Yes. Hong Kong is an exciting city.
Yeah. Nice. Just misdirection there, buddy.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. It's like it's almost as if they used everybody's first take.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
As well, if.
That's what I was feeling.
Secret underground fight going on here in Hong Kong.
Yeah. But you know what? More than this, Brian, it's not that they took the first take. It's the only take. So right, a lot of movies will take 50 takes and go with the first one because it turns out it was the best after careful consideration. But this was like, we've only got enough film for all of you to say it once, so make it count.
We're burning daylight here. Yeah. We only have 18 hours to film this whole movie.
That's
come on.
Right. I'm almost out of celluloid. I have to start turning tricks. All right. Here's somebody being ageist.
Aren't you a little young for full contact?
Aren't you a little old for video games?
Aren't you a little old for reading around?
What do you call these things? Video games.
Especially when Jean-Claude Van Damme beats you at a video game because it's only a one-player game.
Yeah.
There's only a one-up score getting.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
It's almost as if I can't control my character.
Weird.
Well, and coming into this, you're thinking, oh, Ogre's going to be he's going to be like wonky.
He's going to be
like the guy that you have to like defeat on the way to the bad guy, or maybe he is the bad guy.
Yep.
You're never thinking, oh, this is going to be a really sympathetic character. And so they're fighting at this console and you're like, yeah, kick his ass. Like, use your magic power of being able to do a video game great from the first time you ever play it. And then immediately Ogre's like, hey, you know, you're not so bad. Oh, he's going to be the sidekick.
You know what you call that? I'll tell you what you call that. That is, we're going to give that a name. That is the, what's that name of that movie? That's the Footloose friend. Mm-hmm. Because in Footloose, you find a friend who at first seems like a bully and you're not going to get along and there's lots of tension. And then the next thing you know, you're training him how to dance. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what they did here,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. All right. What's this?
Aren't you a little old for video games?
I think I've captured that twice.
That's the beginning of the Veronica segment.
Aren't you a little old
for TMS?
Or a stormtrooper. Brilliant. you see, this is great. This one right
you here. You lose, American asshole.
Asshole.
American asshole.
American asshole.
You lose, American asshole.
Like, that voice did not match that face at all.
Mm.
Hey, a chance to say the name of our movie in the dialogue.
That's why they call this thing Bloodsport, kid.
Yeah, because that guy spit blood.
Future sport is the sport of the future. Bloodsport is the sport of the blood.
Yeah, we have blood. Where ours is bloodier than theirs.
Let's go play some more one-player video games together.
More. I played that game in the 80s. Do you remember that?
Karate Man.
It was Karate Master.
Karate Master.
Mm-hmm.
Master.
Spent a lot of time.
Oh, no, Karate Champ. Sorry, Karate Champ.
Champ, that's it.
I think Karate Man was even better, though.
Yeah, Karate Man is an awesome name for anything, not just video games. All right, awesome fight montage music.
A body's ready, a heart's on fire. I'm gonna push over the wire.
push it over the wire.
Mm-hmm. This is the chase scene music, right? The
I think it's when he was working out with dad there. When he was kicking around and doing when the dad was putting through the
montage.
Rigors.
Yeah. Okay.
I think so.
Well, there was one that was like a little happy song while the cops were chasing him through the streets of Hong Kong, and he was doing his little, oh, now I'm over here. I'm behind the tree. Oh, now I'm going to run down the hall, but look back at you.
And it was pretty identical. Like all these three times that singing music was used, not including the credits, they're all kind of basically Survivor light. Everything was.
Yeah, it is Survivor light. Now he is. That is Stan Bush, though, who famously did The Touch, the song that John Anilio covered at Nerdtacular, cover of the Transformers song.
Oh, mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Look at you with the music knowledge. You think you think you did a music show.
You'd almost think that I may have looked some of this up.
Yeah, you'd almost think. It's like you have Google or something. Let's see
almost
here.
As if.
How about this one? Whitaker and Dude Square Off.
Who the hell are these two scumbags?
Just stay out of it, pal. It's not your business, okay?
I ain't your pal, Dickface.
Dickface. Dickface.
I ain't your pal, Dickface.
This has a sing-songy way of saying that. I like that a lot. All right.
I heard Ian McKellen deliver that same line. It was better when Ian McKellen delivered it.
Dickface. Like that.
I ain't your pal, Dickface.
All right. Driving me crazy. I don't know what this is. Here you go.
You guys are driving me crazy.
Oh, that's the guy with the mullet.
That's the guy with the windshield.
Yeah, with the windshield.
The windshield on his face.
All right, some awesome angry acting to kind of clean us out. We got one more after this, but here you go.
You're not even trying to understand what this means to us, are you?
What is there to understand about a bunch of guys who have to prove themselves by beating each other's brains out?
Why did you become a reporter?
What does that have to do with it?
Just answer the question.
My father was a reporter. I was a good writer. It seemed like the right thing for me to do.
And you want to be the best reporter you can be. For him and yourself, right?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I'm just trying to be the best I can be. Not just for me. For Tanaka and my Shidoshi too.
Great, Frank. That's just great. Go right ahead. I just hope you don't end up like Jackson or worse.
Good Lord.
That Jackson or worse. Too long.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? That whole thing was just dumb.
Why beat you, cutlery porter?
All right.
I had to type that out.
Oh, I got a trope.
Because I couldn't believe it. That's what I heard.
That's great.
Why beat you, cutlery porter?
That's pretty good. Why beat you, cutlery porter?
That's how he says, why did you become a reporter?
That's amazing. That's really good. All right. Here's the ending bit when all is well.
Mr. Dukes, you fought with inspiration. We of the Kokurukai salute you.
Best acting in the movie.
Salute you.
To those about to win the Katame.
Kamute.
We salute you.
Oh, I forgot this one.
He's the American shithead who makes tricks with bricks.
Oh, makes tricks with bricks. Got it. Oh,
which is a huge trope.
Yeah.
Huge trope. Yeah. This movie has a special skill.
Yep. And it's brick breaking.
Right. And not just that, but I can punch some bricks and hit and break the brick after all the bricks I'm punching.
Yeah. Send your kinetic energy all the way to the bottom.
Right. And then in the final fight, I thought, oh, he's delivering the death punch, the death touch punch, and therefore like exploding the dude's spleen or something.
Right. Yeah, there was no
payoff to it.
Yeah, right. That's
perfect
true.
Opportunity. Could have like punched Chung Li in the leg and had his head explode.
Instead, he has to follow up with a punch to the taint, which was like, okay, I guess. Well, what did he just explode? His bladder? I don't even.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or made his prostate larger, I guess.
I'm enlarging your prostate.
Yeah. It's going to take forever to pee and you're going to be up all night.
Right. I mean, it took him, what, 10 years or whatever to learn all the pressure points on a man when really you only need to know one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Here's the thing though. The special ability in a movie. So the Karate Kid had this. It was the crane thing.
Kick. Yeah.
I was trying to think of others like this. I know that it's like almost every one of these has something like this. Somebody's got to move.
You're suddenly put it in a disadvantage, but luckily you can fall back on your training and it all comes through.
And what they'll do is they'll foreshadow it early.
Right.
And you just know, all right, well, that's coming up again. Like even in like Temple of Doom, guy pulling the dude's heart out, that had a certain like method to it. So you knew that was going to come up again. Mm-hmm. Right. Somebody's going to get his heart half taken.
They're hanging off the broken bridge.
Yep. Yeah. Sure enough. Because that guy whips it out again. You're like, oh, the special power. I like that trope. I say more of that, yeah, please.
But it would have been nice if in this movie they actually used it.
Well, that's the point I guess you're making, is that they didn't, and they didn't have payoff, which sucks. All right. Third chick in the bucket. We're giving it to the thing. The brick punch. It didn't ever come up again. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. That's it for clips. Oh, Scott Fletcher sent one of these just for fun.
Bloodsport.
Just for the hell of it. It's just there.
Oh.
Yeah, just use that one ever.
I was waiting for
Oh, and
more.
This one.
Windiggy.
That one, too.
I love him in that clip.
I know, really? So here's the thing. It's time for us to do a film sack checklist. And why? Because I want to, and here's the theme. All right, the list goes like this. The biggest argument for an electronic scoreboard of all time, check. Man, that thing was crappy.
It was great. I like how they had, like, so quick with, like, the, new world record. Put in the new world record slide.
Yep, yep. Yeah, and it took, like, 12 guys to run that thing. It was like Jabba the Hutt. They had all these people working it.
Right.
Hong Kong paper money is way too big, check. And
it's like Firefly money.
It totally was. Big, fat, freaking bills. Yeah. And then finally, worst Oberdev replacement cast of all time. Quite possibly, check. Star Trek connections include William Lucking. He played Dennis Birdsong. In DS9, he was a bunch of dudes. In Enterprise, he was a dude named Herod Sar in an episode called Bound. And then Colonel Lynch on the A-Team, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yep. Always the one that was always after those guys, right?
Right.
That was him. Let's see. Craig Richard Nelson. He played Michael Braun in this. In TNG, he played Krag in the episode of Matter of Perspective. And later in the Living Witness episode of Voyager. Played Vaskin, Arbiter, in the episode Living Witness. Born in Utah, Salt Lake City connection. So there's that.
I think he may have won.
He may have won what?
Everything.
Oh, the life. Yeah. It's won at life. Yeah.
Star Trek connection and Utah connection.
There you go. Soundtrack, Greg, I'm going to give an EE for epic 80s, man. It was all the stuff I hate and love about 80s soundtracks all in there. And I really don't love it. I kind of ironically like it. It's not good. It never was. We just thought it was. It's terrible now. So there's that. All right, we're going to do a Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Bloodsport. Once and for all, irrefutable proof that if you can do a manly enough leg split, anything is possible. I'm doing one right now.
Oh, gross. Are you in your kitchen? Because that's where you should do it.
You want to have more kids later, don't you?
You want to have...
I do all my leg splits.
I think that would actually help you have more kids later.
Order of magnitude. Order. I love how everything's got an or in front of it. How come Roger Moore isn't in this movie? All right. Let's move down to Dunaway now.
Bloodsport, like trying to decipher a game of death threat charades before a round of kumite, which I couldn't say. Sorry.
I did like that. The guy delivering like the, all right, I'm looking at you. Two words. Yep. You're going to tickle my neck.
Yep. Yep.
Why would I want to touch his neck?
Yeah. That's awesome. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Bloodsport. Watch it again and realize the fight crowd didn't know he was blind during that final battle. They just thought he had crazy eyes.
Yeah.
They couldn't have. They were clapping and laughing and cheering.
Why is he so goofy? Why is he looking around?
I remember it being effective when I was younger at making me wonder how scary it might be to go blind all of a sudden, though. Yeah, like that feeling of just terror, like, oh my gosh, I cannot see. But every time they showed the view from his eyes, I'm like, no, you can see, dude. Just look down a little. Right. You're just up in the eye and the lights.
Stop being so dramatic.
Touch into empty space, hoping that the guy is going to be there.
Yeah. Take it from a guy with genetic early cataracts. I could see worse than you, and I could have punched that guy. Come on. Didn't buy it.
Yeah. Scott Johnson could have punched that guy.
Yeah, I would have punched that guy right in one of his giant left boobs.
Right in one of his nipples in his stomach.
One of his giant areola
nipples.
Those
did look like really soft breasts that man
had.
They
did.
They looked comfy. Comfy they did.
Spongy.
Yeah, I could have hung around
Downy
with those.
Pillow.
That would have been fine. Oh, just handed to me. Look at this here. We got alternate titles for the film. This just came across my desk. Number one, hey, where's Roger Moore? That's a possibility. And two, quote, I thought they glued glass shards on their fists in this one. Those are your alternate titles. Here's your emails. We got one from, let's see. Oh, crap. I did this thing again where I did not get this guy's name. I hate when I do that. So I'm going to find it real fast. Here we go. Okay. All right. Just search for it. There he is. This comes to us from, how is that possible?
It comes from myself in the future.
It can't come from.
But he's dead.
hold on. I thought I searched for a string and apparently it was a popular string and now I can't find it. Anyway, whatever. I can't find the guy's name. You know who you are. He said this: I just want to thank you so much for making FilmSack. I've downloaded every single episode to my phone and I re-listen to episodes when I'm falling asleep, especially during hard times. FilmSack provides a soothing constant in my life and provides a need to laugh that goes a very, very long way. Thank you guys for almost 5 years of FilmSack. I just realized we're almost 5 years of FilmSack, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Wow.
Three weeks.
Holy shit.
Oh, God. That close? Three weeks away?
Yep.
3 weeks.
How many?
How long's your luggage been with you? 3 weeks. Your head needs to split apart now. All right. Thank you for that person whose name I should have gotten since that was so heartfelt. I'll try to find it before next week. Daryl in Ohio also wrote and says, "Hey, Sackers, I noticed recently that a few films were in Netflix that might allow for a fun episode idea. Crocodile Dundee 1 and 2 are both currently streaming, and I wanted to propose a FilmSack double feature episode." Now, I have something very important to say about this when I'm done with this email. "A commentary track would be awesome for this as well. If you don't feel like putting a shrimp on the Barbie, an acceptable substitute might be Romancing the Stone or Jewel of the Nile."
Yes.
Or both, meaning a double header. Mm-hmm. Starring Douglas and Kathleen Turner. He called her man voice here. She was great as Jessica Rabbit, having just watched that.
Sure.
And keep up the great work, Daryl in Ohio. All right, Daryl in Ohio with a Y in his name, the right way to spell it. There are a few comedies that exist that I hate more than the Crocodile Dundee movies.
Really?
I really hate them. I always have. Didn't like them then. Don't like them now. It's on the level of Minority Report for you, Brian.
Oh, perfect. Well, then you, there you go. You just sealed it.
But here's my question. Have I not all... I thought this already happened, where I watched something I hated to be equal with Brian.
Oh.
Well, if you can't remember, then you have not, because I start for life.
No, hold on now, because you did Minority Report. Brian did...
Come on.
Hold on. It's Keanu Reeves and...
Yes. Hold, sinners!
my brain's not working. Johnny Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic, there you go.
And for Randy, it was something... Randy, have we done that to you yet? Have you been...
Well, we haven't specifically done a movie that I stated up front that I hated. I have... retroactively learned that I hated certain movies.
There's a lot of movies that I've learned I've hated.
Sure.
During this show.
I could have sworn, though, there was something that you just really didn't like before.
We decided to let me go to town on Troll 2, and that was a strange episode.
Yeah, it was. One of our best,
like,
if you ask me.
Nothing But Trouble? Was that a...
that was it!
That was it.
That's the one. I hated that movie. Now, true. I actually ended up thinking it was much... Well, like everything on this show, it was good for us, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I hated that movie so bad. I was one of two movies I've walked out of that in the theater. That and Ted Danson and Howie Mandel, whatever that was called. No. A Better Plan, a Stupid Plan, a Crappy Plan. Ah, I hate it so bad I forgot the name. But the point is this. I feel like I've done my hated thing, and I don't think I should be forced to do Dundee movies again. God,
see, I wouldn't say both. I would say in both of the examples he listed, both the Michael Douglas and the Jewel of the Nile.
Right,
I do those.
I would say both sequels would be ripe for sacking. I would say not the originals on either one of those.
Okay,
Jewel of the Nile. I've recently watched Crocodile Dundee in the last month, so I would say that Jewel of the Nile is a little bit more
Sacky. It's got a lot. Sacky. I know it's got a lot of what's his name in there, right?
Rick Moranis?
Yeah, no.
No.
Danny DeVito.
Sonny, Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
What's his name?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking. For some reason, I was thinking. Never mind.
I was thinking Tattoo. I don't know.
We'll consider these things. But the important thing to note is that next week we're doing an episode for Halloween, and the episode we're doing is for Leprechaun.
No. Well, we're off by weeks.
I'm sorry. Next week we're doing a DVD that we received for The Day After Tomorrow.
Right.
Which was
the following. The movie.
Oh my God, yeah. We're really not going to. They're not going to know it all now. So next weekend is The Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow is next weekend, which sounds like a bad Abbott and Costello routine. But Day After Tomorrow is the film we're going to watch for next weekend. Now, this movie is not currently on Netflix, although it keeps coming on and coming off of there at a fairly regular clip. But it is available lots of places. You know, cough up the $2 to rent it, or see if you can find it on some other streaming service, or if you already own it or something. This is one of those sent to us via DVD from a great listener that we want to make sure we check out. So we're watching that finally. And it is the only disaster movie from that team of brothers. I forgot their names now. Why can't I think
the Emmerichs?
The Emmerichs. Thank you, Nolan. Noah Emmerich, right?
Yes. Noah. Yeah.
Is it Noah? He might be the actor I'm thinking of. Anyway, whatever. The Emmerichs. I don't like any of their disaster movies. I hate them all except this one. I like this one quite a bit, or I did when I saw it. So we'll see how it holds up. We'll do that next week. Jake Gyllenhaal's in this, you know.
Yes.
And the smart and the Quaid that's not
very
crazy.
Cold, right? A very cold Jake.
Yeah. A lot of snow. There's a lot of snow in this movie.
So we got Sane Quaid, snow, Jake Gyllenhaal.
By the way, I think the reason that we never talk about movies that I really, really hate is because we would never watch them on FilmSack.
What anyway, are they?
For example, the Tarsem Singh movie, The Cell.
Oh,
I hate that movie.
Hold on, that's the one with Joe J-Lo in the box?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
I always wanted to see it.
Hate that movie. Mm. Like
what's
I
in
am
the box?
J-Lo. Seriously. And I'm sad that just bringing it up might cause someone hearing me to think, oh, I should see how bad it is. Such a horrible movie. And we would just never watch that on FilmSack. It's got no dialogue. It's got no purpose. It's just a bunch of bad stuff all strung together.
Mm. Well, I have good news. You want to hear some good news?
Good news.
Speaking of The Cell, there's another movie being made called Cell without the in front of it. It's the Stephen King adaptation of the cell phones turn everyone into zombies. Yep. Yeah. I love that book. I really did. And I love zombie movies, so I'm all in for something being made. It is being made. Here is the latest casting news. This has been confirmed. The core character of Clay Riddell will be played by John Cusack. That's actually very exciting.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. Samuel L. Jackson as Tom McCourt, somebody he runs into. Isabel Furman as Alice Maxwell, and Stacy Keach as Charles Ardai.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, of course.
He's awesome.
Red is like, of course, he's on
every TV show the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Seriously, Stacy Keach shows up on every show.
He's in a lot of things right now. Something recent that we saw. No? I don't know. I love Stacy Keach, though. He's one of the greatest voices in the history of ever. He should narrate everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's coming, and I can't freaking wait. So watch for that. Okay. Well, that's it for emails. If you guys want to submit your own, you sure can. Filmsack@gmail.com. We'll see you next week for that. And I do want to say our Halloween movie this year is Leprechaun. That's important to note.
Hey.
So that's coming up in a couple of weeks, but don't forget, we're here next week for Day After Tomorrow, which just sounds stupid to say. All right, that's going to do it for us. Filmsack.com is the website. Oh, what else? Email filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow us at Filmsacks. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are distributed. Follow Randy at Randy Deluxe. Follow me at Scott Johnson. Brian Ibbett at Coverville. And Mr. Brian Dunaway I'm thinking of Scott Fletcher.
The Brian Dunaway.
For Scott Fletcher, it's Mr. Scott Fletcher. There you go. Or if you're more female inclined, Mrs. Scott Fletcher. Or Mrs. Or Cott
Miss
Fletcher.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Yeah, if you're nasty. It's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. Mm. We'll see you next time.
Kumite.
I beat you, cutlery porter.
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.